It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are, you know, enjoying our new studio here at Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Ooh, Andrew just walked in. Andrew, hello. You know, we'll have Andrew. Get your butt in here, man. We'll talk to you here in a little bit. We just got guys coming in, and now you get to meet all these guys. I think it's his first time in here. His wife was in here, so he's all jealous. So we're going to get to him in just a minute. Go ahead and get suited up. Now, one thing I want to give you an update on, though, is that John Stattmiller, you know, was arrested yesterday, the owner of RBN. He has a show coming on later, and they already let him go. You know, everything's paid and done and bail and this. And it was all stupid stuff anyway. But the thing is, you go to republicbroadcasting.org and you can see the link there, and it'll tell you what happened and so on. But they have a phone number. You know, you might want to call and say, hey, are you purposely trying to make him miss his show? Are we going to have to put some other even crazier person to do that show just because, you know, just because? You know, well, let's go ahead. You call him. You get ready. Here we go. I'm going to give you the number. It's 512-943-5202. Okay, I'll give you again here. It's 512-943-5202. Be an activist. It's grins and giggles. Just go, hey, is he done? Is there some reason why you're holding him longer? You're going to miss, oh, we'll miss my John Stemmiller show. You know, that'd be bad. You're depriving me of his First Amendment. You know, there's a First Amendment in, you know, being able to hear, too. You know, that's a whole other issue we'll get into someday. You know, I want to introduce you to Andrew. Say hi, Andrew.
Hey, everybody. My name's Andrew. I'm just coming down here. I'm an activist down here at Freedoms Phoenix. And a little history on me, I was working on the Obama deception videos that we did, Operation ASU, with my wife, Gwen, who was on the show about, a week ago?
Yeah, I know we talked about this. You know, tell us how that came up. All of a sudden, you came to the idea, and you go, hey, you know what we should do? Obama's going to come and speak to ASU graduation on May 13th, and wouldn't it be nice if we had a bunch of videos? So we made a double feature, and what happened?
Well, this was great. What we did is, on May 13th, we knew that Obama was coming to ASU to give his commencement speech. And normally every year, I think my wife went through this, but I'll just kind of go through it for the people who haven't heard this before, is we decided to make a video and we put two movies on a disc, Obama Deception and American Freedom Fascism. But what we really want to do is get this message out to the students at ASU that Obama is just, you know, a puppet. You know, he's being controlled by behind the scenes by these bankers. And the Obama deception gets into the in-depth, you know, the banker takeover, gets into how he's not really in control, just kind of like a lot of other presidents that we've had. And it's a very good documentary. We got this message out to the students. We put out 17,000 DVDs. I mean, it was incredible. We had three DVD burner stacks going for weeks, all day long, 24 hours a day, practically.
Yeah, you know, we have 311 stacks. So we do 33 at a time. We can make about 400 DVDs an hour. And Donna just sent out another 300 yesterday to somebody in upstate New York that wanted them, ordered a bunch, said we just want them. So we charge them like cost, and boom, go free some minds.
That's great.
You know, so this has grown and grown and grown. And I tell you, there's a lot more to talk about. We come back on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, well, we're declaring our independence each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on the RBN Network. And you can go to Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and have our archive. Right after the show, we put those bad boys up. Man, they're popular. That's right, because we talk about some fun stuff. You know, if you're not having fun in revolution, especially a lovolution, you're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. Why are you getting all stressed out? You know people that just, they die, in pain. They die in anguish, worrying about this stuff. You get to the point, man, if you're in you're actually in love-illusion, yeah, I feel good about it. I remember saying in the 90s, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? We'll know what's on the other side of this thing. Lots more freedom. Yeah, it's going to get messy first, though. I mean, get prepared for that. You just need to be able to survive it. A lot of times you don't have to even do anything. You just got to survive it. Well, one of the things that's going on here, I mean, think about it. We have the governor of Arizona, Janet Napolitano. She was governor. She goes on to be, head of the Gestapo, all right, or the Homeland Security, whatever, same thing. I mean, I think they even called it the same thing. But anyway, so she goes off and head of Homeland Security. Why? Why her? What was her special credentials? She's some kind of security expert or something? What was it she was doing that qualified her for this? Yeah, she do what she's told. That's what qualified her. And Jet saw it. Where'd you see this, Jet? How'd you even know to put this up on Freedom's Phoenix?
Well, I saw it on the Daily Paul. It's one of the first sites I go when I'm having my coffee in the morning. And then I anything that has to do with Janet Napolitano, since we've sort of had to deal with her for the last, numerous years, sort of piques my interest, and it will also pique the interest of the Freedom's Phoenix readers. And when she's going to speak in front of the Council on Foreign Relations, which I think is, sort of an evil entity, all these guys are proud members, all these, leaders of our country. And that's, what a lot of us around here believe, that they're a large part of the problem, and no part of the solution.
So, maybe your leaders are your country, not mine. They don't lead me. It's all in your head, man. Get your mind right.
Oh, my mind's right. You help me with that, brother.
So she's, what it is, you go to the story and you'll see what's going on. There's a live webcast that you can sign up for. Oh, yeah, you want to be on that list. I want to listen to Janet Napolitano addressing the CFR and sign up for the webcast so I can hear it. I'm a Janet Napolitano listening individual, the CFR. I don't know. I wonder what list that puts you on. I guarantee you get on a list, but, whatever. If you're going to be on the list, let me tell you what I learned. Be on top of the list. It's a lot safer there. So what happens is, and don't advocate violence, so it's all about love. What they hate is a freed mind. Because they don't really want you to do anything. They do. They want you to actively support them. They want you to participate. And they're not so worried about you doing anything as much as they are going to continue to start worrying about that you're not supporting them, because they need your active participation. They need you to volunteer to pay your taxes. They need you to volunteer to go get your permits. They need you to volunteer to pay the fee on the blah, 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 and the new blah, blah, they came up with a new blah. They need you to do that. So what happens when you just kind of, you remove your consent? It has enormous impact, certainly when you're talking hundreds of millions of people. They know this. So here we have Janet Napolitano, which is governor here in Arizona, going to speak to the Council on Foreign Relations about, Now, this is what makes this interesting to us. The revolution was here. It started here. For over a year, there was an average of 300 to 600 of those revolution banners and various things that we made a week. A week. We had three locations. Everybody had, backyards, different people. One guy had this large driveway. Late at night. They didn't start till 7, go all night, because in the summer, last summer, it was freaking hot. You know, their biggest problem is having, you know, little sweat drops in their painting. Yeah, but you never know. So anyway, so they just mass produced. It was like a record. They go against other cities around the country. I think they did like over like 300 signs in one night. They had these big stencils and frames, and they'd take a big banner, the 14 by 48 banners that we had a bunch of them, and they would put those in positions and kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, and just go and spray them all and get all kinds of funky with them, take it out, do another one while somebody's cutting those up, putting holes in, zip tie ready, making little kits rolled up, ready to go. Then they go put them up that weekend, you know, for rush hour traffic the next week, because no government worker is going to do anything on Sunday. So you get morning rush hour on Monday. You got hundreds of thousands of people see these all over the place. And then they go take them down, and we're like, yeah, so? They cost us a quarter or less. And we don't care. And do you think Janet Napolitano, governor of the state, saw those every single day? Yes, she did. She knew who we were. I've been on the campaign trail with her for years. Barry Hess running for governor, going up against, you know, being nice and everything and whatever, making fun of the policy, the philosophy. We never go after the person. There's a whole 15 gazillion shiny badge one wears right behind her. Now, that doesn't matter, but we knew who she was. She was, I'll tell you this story. This is where we came across her. There was a big political sting done in the early 90s here called ASCAM. What it was is they had the county attorney, Romley. He was a Republican, you know, a Vietnam vet, real staunch conservative, you know, get the pornography on off the streets kind of guy. So he's got, you know, this all right-wing kind of mentality, and he goes in, and they had a undercover guy named Joe Stadino, and they wrote a book called What's in It for Me? And it was a fascinating book on how Arizona government works, and it kind of dovetails into another one called the Arizona Project, which was it's another. You know, we'll do a whole show on this. You can go to my old archives and have this whole thing. Every Monday, I would do a thing, an update on this, because if you read the Arizona Project, you'll understand why they never are going to fix the drug war or immigration. They're entwined here. The corruption in government is so bad here, been on going on for such a long time. You read that book and you'll find out the true nature of, you know, the Goldwater Empire, you know, where McCain comes from, all these local politicians and everything. I mean, you start to see how it really works. Well, I read that early on. I'm like, oh man, I so get it now. So you're not going up against these guys. There's a whole line of them. You're going up against us. Our perception, our willingness to accept all this BS from them, the lies. So what happens is you have this ASCAM thing, and there was one legislator, his name was Alan Stevens, and he was Senate Majority Leader when the Democrats were in control of the Senate back then. And what happened was, I'm just starting to become aware of, you know, my father's company. We just wanted access to trade data and what the duty was to ship into Europe. I just pulled this one thread. I just want to know how much it is to put his camping trailers that he made for touring motorcycles on a sea container and ship it over there. Should I take it into Italy or Denmark or Portugal or whatever? It's like going to different states in North America. Which one has the lowest duty? I need to find out. Where's that list? Can't find it. I was going, what the heck, man? You're complaining about exporting? So I just kind of started pulling that thread, and I started coming across enormous corruption. There was a law they passed called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 88, and it was like the New World Order in print. And I read the whole thing. I'm a young man, like, you know, Andrew's sitting here. You know, I look at him, I go, that was me, okay, 15, 20 years ago. I read this stuff, and I'm going, you guys got to be kidding me. This is going to get bad. So my wife and I, we made a decision. Okay, we're gonna pull these threads and see what we can do and try and, you know, save it. You know, at least be prepared for it for when our four children, we had just had our fourth child by then, get to be of age. And they're now 19 to 23, two of them married. One baby on the way very soon. So you can see I was thinking ahead. But what happened was, at this time, there was a sting that the county attorney did, that they had an undercover guy, you know, he was a hood from Vegas, and he came in and he played a lobbyist. You know, he's an advocate. We want to legalize gambling here. We want to make sure that, you know, we get this law passed and so on. And they lined up. They were taking their grab. They had on videotape, you know, they're recording all this stuff. And they're going in, yep, give me my $5,000, $10,000, this $1,000, whatever my vote is. And they had a whole stable of them. And it was enormous corruption. It showed the whole tapestry of how this is done. And I was dealing with a lot of these guys. And I could tell there was some major bad stuff going on. And I got involved in it by me, you know, exposing them to some reporters. And I said, look, man, I can tell you what is going on with these. Without me even even known this thing was going on. Later, the county attorney called me and wanted to know how I knew so much. And I tell you, let me tell you how much I know. I know enough to know you're not going to do anything about it. That's how much I know. Well, it's nice talking to you. Have a nice day. And boom, you're gone. You know, so then I started doing interviews and stuff like that and saying what I knew. Alan Stevens got off. He was Senate Majority Leader, $4,000. He's on tape taken. All of a sudden, the tape kind of gets messed up. He doesn't have to pay. And he got attorney fees to the tune of, I don't know, like $60-something thousand went to pay his attorney for him getting off being a crooked politician. Guess whose defense attorney was, Janet Napolitano? Then later, when she becomes governor, he was co-chief of staff for her. This is what you're dealing with. And it's out in the open. It's not like a secret. You know, then she became U.S. Attorney for Arizona, appointed by Clinton Janet Reno in that time. Then she goes on to become Attorney General. Then she became governor. Now, what happened was also during this time in 92, here came Sheriff Arpaio from the DEA, no less. Hello. You have no idea what's really going on here in Arizona. So now you have this, you know, defense attorney for crooked politicians that brings him into her cabinet when she becomes governor, goes off to be head of the Gestapo. Are we worried yet? I mean, come on. So now they're talking to the Council on Foreign Relations. You get to sign up for it and get to hear what she has to say. Now, does she know about the revolution? You dang Skippy, she does. Does she know who I am? Yeah, of course. Does she know our methods? Yes. You know, they come after us. I mean, what are they going to do? I don't know. They get creative, though, don't they? Well, you know, it's always Arizona, man. It's always Arizona. You know why? Because when you resist, you know, if you got 50 states, it's like you got 50 nails in a 2x4. Which one do you take the force of government hammer and hit? Which one do you hit? The one that's sticking up the most. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Is that Oh Brother, Where Art Thou again? You know, I like that movie. You know, that was a really pleasant, surprising movie. You know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou with George Clooney. You know, that was a good movie. I suggest you watch it just for grins and giggles. Well, what's not so funny is, you know, I'm looking at here on Janet Napolitano speaking before the Council on Foreign Relations and what the title was. I mean, I'm looking here. What's this thing about? Oh, and here's the title. Common Threat, Collective Response, Protecting Against Terrorist Attacks in a Networked World. You know what that means? Cyberspace. They're coming out, you know, the aliens from cyberspace, you know, those guys like Motorhome Diaries and Freedom's Phoenix and Declare Your Independence and such as that. You know, because, you know, does she know where the threat is? Heck yeah, she was here. She was the one that saw all these signs and so on. You think there was a saturation of the Ron Paul Revolution signs around the country. Man, you have no idea until every freaking overpass and piece of chain link. In the documentary that they're doing, Ed Vallejo was the head of the meetup here in Arizona. And he was quoted, he goes, you know what the criteria was for those signs? It was, can you attach something to a space? That was the criteria where they went. Can something be attached? Well, gosh darn it, we had it there. And in the beginning when we first started, they stayed up for a week or, you know, more. There wasn't some, you know, government employee being told he had to take them down, so he didn't care. It's hot, man. You know, they're going, man, you better get this for you and your job. How do you think you got your job, boy? So they're out there doing it. Man, we're taking them down, but we still get at least, you know, rush hour traffic. Jet, you know, that's how you found them, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, Janet Napolitano wasn't the only one seeing those signs out and about in town. And I was like, you know, one of the signs said, Google Ron Paul. So that's exactly what I did. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's on the same exact page I am. You know, he's this kindly looking old man that is like down for exactly the way I feel. And, you know, I just started following what he was doing. Then when Meetup kind of got big, I joined the Meetup group, which happened to be the first in the United States here in Phoenix. And here I am,
you know, and, you know, you got the Revolution Continues shirt on, but I remember you had another shirt your wife made, you know, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. My wife, as a birthday present, she actually took in the same manner that they make the signs here with stencils. She took paint on a shirt and made me just a regular old T-shirt, a Ron Paul Revolution, and I still wear that thing everywhere I go.
You know, that was really nice, you know, to have a spouse do that for you, you know, and say, oh, what a neat present. You know, that has, you know, well, Andrew, what was your first exposure to this stuff?
Well, it was America from Freedom to Fascism, and that's where I saw Ron Paul, kind of got to know his ideas. I really agreed with him in there, and when I saw that he was running for president, I was really energized, and I started to kind of network a little bit and get involved. So that was my first exposure to activism.
You know, and this is how it goes. You know, activism breeds more activism. And that's what you – if you're not out there actually being, you know, effective in changing minds, you're not freeing minds. Instead, you're just forwarding emails saying, you know, here's more stuff you need to – what if you're not actually doing something, you know, what do the guys around here call people like that?
Slacktivist.
Yes, slack. Are you a slacktivist? Don't be a slacktivist. Slacktivists are bad. And, you know, but it's fun to be an activist. It doesn't take much. A lot of times, you know, people with more resources than they got time, you just go to these different meetings every now and then. You find that one, two guys got a neat idea and they're willing to put forth some effort. You know, heck, you can change the planet for a couple hundred dollars sometimes. I mean, I remember in the 90s, we were like, we could change the world if we only had $2,000. We were in want of $2,000 for a decade. But, you know, every time that we got it, something, we did something great with it, and it just kept evolving, and people support what we do because we do. You know, it's called, that's why they call it activism. You're active. You know, like Jet, you know, we're, you know, he's a creative guy. Oh, he did this piece. All you guys in this hour probably haven't heard it. Well, we got time. How much time we got? Yeah, you do it. We had the motorhome die. Get that ready. We had Motorhome Diaries. They came up, and yesterday they're on the show. Then they go to the Canadian border yesterday, and they got stopped. They were 5 hours. You know, they're, you know, what was it, like 4 hours or something that they're there with the Canadian police border patrol saying you can't come in because of what you advocate, what you think. You know, you got this motorhome diary thing. You're just, you're troublemakers. You don't have freedom and stuff. And then they come back to the U.S., then the border patrol gave them a hard time. So we contacted them. Jet was all over it, man. And he got audio of the encounter when they first got there.
Hello! Hello!
Hello? Who is this?
It is Jason and Pete from the Motorhome Diaries. We bring to you a message of peace and liberty. We have been charged by our founders with a sacred quest. If you allow us passage, you may join us in our quest for individual liberty.
Well, I'll ask, but I don't think we'll be very keen. We've already got one, you see.
What? He says they've already got one. Are you sure?
Oh, yes, it's a very nice.
I told him we've already got one.
Well, can we come in and have a look? Of course not. You are American types.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly motorhome types?
We come with a message of peace. I beg of you.
You don't frighten us, American do-gooders. Go and blow your buttons, sons of a silly person. I blow my nose at you, so-called motorhome diary types. You and all your silly Yankee niggets.
What a strange person. Now look, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal American.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, in BEA, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Andrew, did you hear that piece before?
I was cracking up. That's the first time I heard it. We got some talent here in Freedom Speaks. We really do.
We hadn't even got started yet. You know what we did? The reason it took so long, we started building all this stuff in January. We had so much other stuff to do, or activists, but the radio studio and TV studio, we did TV first and had some fun with that, and we finally, one of the last pieces in the puzzle is the silk screening operation and the radio show. And what we did is we just kept piecing it until we got it the way we wanted it. So now I've been in radio long enough to know that you need to have certain stuff. I mean, you can't have the fun that on this stuff. You know, go ahead and cut them down a second one. You know, what happens is that if you don't have the equipment, you know, then you can't have the fun. So we kept accumulating the equipment, getting things done. It was all in my head. And we came together, and these guys are going to rock you. You know what? There is going to be so much fun here. At night, they come in and they do their own stuff and they put it on their YouTubes and their own Twitter accounts and they send out all the fun stuff that they do. And I don't even know what it is. I don't even see it all, you know, but they're having fun. Now, the one of the other things is that I wanted to do is, oh, dang it. You know, before we do that, let's go ahead and go to Rick in Ohio. Rick, I got you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
How you doing, Ernie?
I'm more than wonderful, and how are you?
Okay, I was just getting ready to make a phone call, and then I remembered the hour had slipped past me, and you'd already started, so I missed the first little bit of your show. But did you say something about John Stadtmiller still being in jail?
Yeah, we did. We, you know, they're kind of holding him there, you know, and saying, you know, you're free to go until, you know, later. You know, we got it all taken care of. We got the paperwork and everything, but we're going to let you go later. So I gave out the phone number. It's 512-943-5202. 512-2202? It's 512-943-5202.
Okay, and you just the number I had was...
That's just what they
9-4-3-1-3-6-5.
Okay, well, I'm just taking what they had on RBN Network here, okay?
That's what I got. That's the one they put up last night. It says Williamson County Jail.
You go there right now. The number I just gave you is what they have.
5202?
5202.
Okay, that's I'm going to call them then. I just wanted to say, you mentioned that police officer in that case in Arizona before. He said something to the effect that when he arrives on a scene, he wants to cover his baseline and know who's there.
Yeah, no, now that was a point that the defense attorney really picked up on, and when he's doing his motion for just dismiss this thing, he goes, here we have an officer, he doesn't even know the law. He thinks that he can just show up anywhere, and everybody's got to give their ID. This is Nazi Germany.
Exactly. That is, he's showing that he's not there to serve the rights of the people, he's not there to serve the Constitution, he's there to serve his desire, his will, and... That's all he's concerned about. That's a psychopath run amok. That's the very definition of tyranny.
Well, they don't understand what they're not taught it. I mean, I've had friends that go through the police academy. They join, you know, my son-in-law had a roommate before he got married to my daughter, and he was going through the police academy. Now he's a policeman in the city of Phoenix, and or maybe Tempe. I think it might be Tempe. And what happened was he goes through all this academy training and everything, and they teach you. You know, it's us versus them. You know, this Constitution thing, man. You know, all these little tail light guys, these are just excuses to pull people over. You know, we're revenue. We're the king's men. We're the king's highwaymen. We're going to take from those and redistribute to us.
I got stopped on July last year when I met you down there in Washington on July 12th.
Oh, yeah?
I almost didn't make that. I got stopped by the state patrol on the way down there. And he tried every excuse under the book to take me in. I had my back seat was full of posters, you know.
Yeah.
And my bumper stickers. And, yeah, he tried to interfere with me big time, but I...
Heinous propaganda.
Yeah, really? Okay, I'll talk to you. I'm going to make a phone call now, too.
All right, go for it, Rick. Thanks.
943-5202.
That's what I have here on their site. 943-5202. Thanks.
Yep.
Rick from Ohio, you know, being an activist. You know, he's not being a slacktivist. He's actually doing something. You know, what if we called? Go ahead and do that. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. We got time. Let's see. Let me give you the number. Yeah, we'll try this just for grins and giggles, see what happens on the air. Yeah, you guys be quiet, you know, in case you come on. You got the number? The 512 number? Okay, it's 1512. Let me pull this up again. 943-5202. Okay, let's see what happens.
Okay, hang that up. I just got Skype from the control room. They have a new number. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Let's go ahead and try it. 512.
Williamson County Jail, can I help you?
Yes, my name's Ernest Hancock. I'm a talk show host in Phoenix, Arizona. We're covering John Stadtmiller being arrested and that he was to be released here pretty soon for his show. I was wondering what the status is of him being released.
He has been released.
How long ago?
I don't know. He has been released.
So he's actually left the building, right?
Yes.
Elvis has left the building. Thank you very much. Well, there you go. Update live and in person. He's out. Okay, well, hopefully we'll be hearing about that. Do you guys down at the network there, do you guys know he's on his way now? Yeah, you do now. Well, you know, see, all we had to do is call him. They go, oh, we know where he's calling, man. Let him go. You know, this happened before. I'll tell you this story. There was Lauren, can't remember her last name. She was in one part of the Free State Project in New Hampshire. And what happened was she's been a political activist and so on. And when they had the Kelo, I think she was a Kelo 7 or something like that. There was the Kelo case. It went to the Supreme Court about eminent domain. It was these people that just said, look, man, we don't want to sell. You're not giving us what it's worth. You're taking all this property for private use. This isn't even for public use. You're doing, and we have Freedom's Phoenix yesterday and today. It might still be on the front page, or you go to page 2, it'd be yesterday. There's a case here called City North where the city gave you like hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, to a developer. You know, well, they got 100 parking spaces for it, but they gave, you know, all this money to these, it's corporate welfare. You know, so we're the Libertarian Party state chair here in Arizona, Michael Kilsky, filed an amicus brief on that. It went to Supreme Court, and it went to appeals court, and they ruled it unconstitutional what they did. But they, you know, they keep going. So, in Supreme Court on this thing, well, she was part of, you know, fighting this eminent domain thing. You could see the trend years ago. You could see what was happening. We just say eminent domain, we can take whatever we want, and give it to our buddy. You know, we're going to put an Ace Hardware over here on your brake thing. You know, I mean, that's what was happening to the Bailey Brake Shop deal in Scottsdale. So what happened was Lauren was there protesting, and she's an experienced activist that's willing to do time. So you put yourself in front of the bulldozer or whatever, and she was arrested and such. And later on, she went to New Hampshire. Well, they asked for the ID and so on, and then you give, you know, here's my insurance and all this kind of stuff, but I don't want to play. You know, I'm not part, you know, listed on the state. I'm not playing. So whenever they go, you're under arrest, immediately she goes limp. She just goes down, boom, man, I'm a rag doll. You have to carry my butt around everywhere. I ain't playing. So that's what they do. They take her. They knew who she was. They know her name. But that's not the point. You got to kiss the ring. Okay? You got to sign a little piece of paper. You got to say, yeah, this is me. You know, fingerprints, photograph. That don't mean nothing. It's all about you complying. It's like the scene from Braveheart. You know, and he goes, oh, well, in High Treason Against Your King, and he goes, my king? Man, never in my life did I ever pledge allegiance to this king. I don't know what you're talking about. It matters not. He is your king. Well, she's like, yep, whatever, I'm not playing. So they take and put her in jail, and they had all these people protesting for weeks out there going, no, let her go, let her go. So they're out there doing YouTubes, interviews, and it starts getting notoriety in the press. All of a sudden, it starts going outside of the local area, starts hitting national news. All the activists are starting to go. And I was heading there. I did a conference in December of 07, and I go, hey, man, we're going to New Hampshire. You know, we're going to go see what's what. Well, you know, they decided to, was it 07? I think it was, end of 07. They're going, yeah, it's time to let her go because there was so much attention. So many people were starting to go there. But this is how she did it. She's sitting in the cell. She will not give her name. She won't play. So they won't let her out of the cell. She's in solitary confinement. You got to stay there. They'd feed her and give her some water. But that was it. Wouldn't even let her go to take a shower. So every now and then, the guard would kind of accidentally on purpose leave it open and kind of look it up in the sky. Da, 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 da. She'd sneak out, go take a shower, and come back, you know, a couple of times during over a month that she was in there. The reason was is because they said because she wouldn't give her name, that it classified her as some kind of risk something, that she had to wear a surgical mask to come out among the population, even go take a shower. Nope, not playing. Anything they could do to trick her and coerce her into playing the game. So when they take her to arraignment, they would, you know, take her to court. And they go in, and she goes, nah, not going, she just go limp. So they actually physically pick her up, take her, put it on the van, and then go to the court. Okay, got to go before the judge. She just sit there. And the judge was not willing to have somebody forcibly dragged into her courtroom. So they just left her on the bus for a while. You know, it gets hot, whatever. She just sit there, suffer, and they take her back to the jail. And they do this several times. Finally, this was how she finally, you know, got out of jail. They had a public defender or someone came in, talked to her, and said, look, I'm going to defend you. Maybe we can do it this way. What we'll argue is the right to rebellion. Because in New Hampshire's state constitution, you have the right to rebellion. And you go, really? So she, okay, you know, I'll let you go ahead and argue for me. And she goes into court, sits at the defense table, and he goes, if we have the right to rebellion, how do you think that'll manifest itself? Do you want it violent? Are we going to have to argue for, you know, firearms being discharged? Or we have to argue for people being killed? Or somebody just sits down and peacefully says, I'm rebelling, I'm not playing? Is that the way we want to, you know, take this on and support this constitutional right to resist tyranny? You know, or do you want to take it up a notch? Are you sure you want to do this? Because they're just checking off boxes. You want the right to rebellion. There it sits. They go, nope, guilty, time served. Boom, you're done. These are activists. Nobody ever tell, you know, Lauren, she's a slacktivist. But she was making a point. Did she make it? Absolutely. You know, Free Talk Live is a radio program out of Keene, New Hampshire, all the anarchist activist types are going. And then you have these guys, Motorhome Diaries. That's where they're based out of. It's just a philosophy of we're not going to challenge the state, you know, openly. We're not going to come and do what they want. You start, you know, taking up, you know, firearms and start, you know, taking out government officials, you know, the first thing you do is just, no, we're just not playing. I'm not buying into the support of this beast that's devouring me. I am not voluntarily complying. What power does that have? I say, I'm quite a bit. You know, that's where you're starting to see the abuses of this whole thing called the state. Because the state versus somebody, whose rights are violated? The drug war is a perfect example. The state versus, you know, so-and-so and his 10 pounds of marijuana. And the state was damaged in what way? You didn't respect their authority. That's the biggest infraction right there. And that's how it goes. When we're in law enforcement and so on, I got to tell a story. We were up at the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. And we were staying in a secure gated community. Some friends had a home there that we could stay in. And one of the women that we were with, you know, she's a mature woman. She's 50 years old. She goes out and has a cigarette, you know, early in the morning. I mean, it's like 2:30, just got back from, you know, the clubs and everything. And she's being courteous. She just goes out front, has a cigarette. Security sees her, pulls up, you know, and who are you? Oh, yeah, I'm staying with you or whatever. Oh, well, you're not on the list, so we're calling the cops. They're just being jerks. She didn't want to have to wake up everybody. By the time I go out, and one of the guys go, hey, man, you know, there's cops out here and so on. I open the door. She's in handcuffs. And I'm going, she's with, why is she in handcuffs? You know, she's in her pajamas, okay, barefoot. And the officer, he's a young 20-something-year-old, his head shaved and everything. And he's, well, she's being uncooperative. We're going to go over here and talk. And I'm like, it's obvious that she's staying with us. You know what? Well, yeah, we're just going to go over here. It's because it's a face-saving thing. It's respect my authority thing. You know, it's called the supervisor, and she won't, you know, comply and, you know, give me her ID and this and that and whatever, because she's required to give her name and her birth date. She did. Well, you know, it's just you're going through this thing, and it was so obvious what was going on. It's just, it's kiss the ring. It matters not. He is your king. Well, he's got a gun. He's standing there. He's your king. So you have four cars there with the lights going. In this small cul-de-sac community of about 5-6 houses, causing a ruckus, 2:30 in the morning, because, you know, they can. Well, three of them are security guard guys and this one officer. So it's everybody's, you know, who's got the larger manhood. So they go in and they pull her over. I turn to my wife. I said, just give me the keys of the truck so I can get the camera. You know, I'm tired. I'm in my flannel PJ kind of thing. I walk out there, my shirt off and so on in my all my glory. So I go over there, open the thing. They've got the flashlight, making sure I'm not, you know, pulling out a firearm or something. I get the camera, put the boom mic on, stand about 20 feet away, lean up against the wall, turn it on, you know, go for it, Renee. and she was just reading him the riot act. She just, you got nothing better to do. I can't believe it's so obvious. And you get thee out of these handcuffs. And she would not calm down. She would not do what he wanted her to do, which was respect his authority to do whatever he wanted, regardless. And she wouldn't. She just would not doing it. Then you hear him. He goes, "They got cameras on me." You know, he's in there, his little walkie-talkie speaker thing on his shoulder. And they're like, oh, man, we got to extricate ourselves. So he goes to my wife. Do you have keys here? Well, it's a code. And okay, fine. All right, we're going to let you out. But, you know, and she goes, and I want an apology. No, I'm not going to apologize. Well, you should. I insist on apology. I'm not going to apologize. Yes, you do. No, I'm not. Yeah, you should. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to, hey, let it go, man. You know, and in the beginning, I told him, I said, look, I know where this goes in the end. I know what happens. I know this process. I know how this is going to go. In the end, she's going to be out of handcuffs, and you're going to be stressed, man. That's what's going to happen. You know, but you got to have the camera. You don't get the first thing you do, get the video camera. If you don't do that, it would have turned out a lot different. So finally, you know, going, I'm like, yeah, thanks. I understand. I appreciate you guys, you know, whatever. But, you know, hey, you know, a bunch of libertarians, man. It just didn't go well for y'all. Because we know what we have to do. The thing is, it doesn't matter. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. I do not advocate. This is a problem that we've had. When I first started my show in February of 2003, I remember there were plenty of people that would go out and they'd get arrested. They get in trouble. They cause all kinds of mayhem because they get all fired up and want to do this without understanding. Yeah, where's the guy that's taking the video of you doing your great and wonderful chest beating in front of a guy with a gun? Man, you better know what you're doing before you go getting in the middle of this. You know, we'll try and help, and we'll highlight what happens, but don't ever think that it's that easy, because it's not. Don't get yourself in trouble. Pay attention here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll walk you through it.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm sure he's going to talk all about it today on his show at 4 p.m., 4 to 6 p.m. this evening on Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, Pete called back and he left Rick from Ohio, he called back and he said, you know, we have the phone number of the officer. We can do complaints. We're going, you know, and feel the pain. Well, you know, I'll leave it up to John. You know, he'll get the whole skinny on this. So you want to tune in to John Stattmiller's show at 4 p.m. Central, and I'm sure he's going to tell us all about it. Yep. You know, the thing is, did he have a video camera? You know, was there cameras involved? Did he have backup? You know, I see a lot of things, and I tell you, man, I'm just like, man, if I don't have, here, I'll let you out here a block back with the camera, and then you record me as I go up. Because keep in mind, you know, this revolution, you know, cameras are weapons. They're the arrows in the quiver. You know, the revolution is not going to be televised, but it's going to be YouTubed all to hell and back. I guarantee you that. It already has started. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to say something, Andrew?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, people are really waking up to this, and the tyranny of the police state, they're waking up to the speed cameras, everything. Just example, a few months ago, I was kind of having a little family dispute in there. In my family, last year, my brother got a speeding ticket. But they sent him the ticket, had his picture on, and the car was registered to another name. So, you know, I was saying, hey, you know what, plead the fifth. You know, told the person who it was sent to, plead the fifth. You don't have to tell them who this is. Just tell them that's not you. And this other family member was just really, oh, no. You guys, you know, you got to admit to it, blah, 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 go along with police state. Well, it just happened just about a week ago. This other family member got a speed ticket. You know, taking someone to the hospital, and they now kind of changed their tune on it because it was a $400 ticket for this. They were only going like 1 mile per hour over the speed limit. And so now they're kind of on board, like, oh, this is tyranny. And so people are waking up as it bites into them, as they become the victim.
When their ox gets gored, all of a sudden they got religion.
That's right. And
I see Jesus now. I'm healed. I understand. And it always happens when it happens to them. Oh, I got to tell you guys this story. I got time. No, I can tell you next. We have our own little flyers that we put on trash cans that said that, you know, Homeland Security, Total Information Awareness has, you know, come to search your trash and all that kind of stuff. You don't go on their door. You don't go up to their thing. You just put it on their trash. You just do it all during trash day after they dumped it. So if they want to just throw it in the trash right there, you know, you're not violating their property or anything. You just put it on a public sidewalk and a public receptacle. You know, we just searched your trash. And it's a really cool. We'll put it up on the website here, you know, pictures of it. Or you can search it. But what happens is the phone number to call is a newsroom at the local newspapers. I can't believe it. And then first day, I mean, we had thousands of these. We only put like 40 of them out for the Super Bowl when it was here last year. They put it out, and all of a sudden it's in the newspaper. It says, Glendale police say, pay no attention to the orange flyers. Yeah, we know what they're doing. They're just anti-government people. Just trying to cause a ruckus. Yes, we are here on Declare Your Independence. We're ruckus causers. And we want to help you do it, too. And it's fun. Let's have some fun. Because if you don't have fun doing this stuff, you'll go crazy. I'm telling you. I've seen people do it. It just sends them into a funk that they can't get out of. And all you need to do is enjoy yourself. It's a Loveolution here at freedomsphoenix.com studios. Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy on the board. And thanks, Andrew, for coming in. We'll see you Monday on the radio. We have a great show coming for you. You be sure to tune back in.